Now, Apu, Mrs. Simpson claims that she forgot she was carrying that bottle of delicious bourbon. Brownest of the brown liquors. So tempting. What's that? You want me to drink you? But I'm in the middle of a trial. Excuse me. Hello, David. I'm really tempted.
Just take it one day at a time and know that I love you.
I love you too, man.
Welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Is it? Are you sure? You seem unsure.
How are you, buddy?
I am well. Who are you?
I too am well.
There you go.
I actually have a bit of topical news regarding the podcast, if I may indulge you, Terry.
Please, if it is what I think it is, I am on tenderhooks.
So, controversy on the Put It in H podcast page. Controversy, maybe putting it slightly, I don't know, but basically, we got blocked from following a popular Simpsons account, the Simpsons Quote of the Day, which I don't mind telling you, has been a gravy train for the last couple of months, because what they do is they also only post stuff up to like season 11 or something like that, and they put up like a quote every day, and they're always like really, really well done quotes, like like the perfect scene, and if it's usually if it's like an episode that we've done, I'll comment on it and say, oh, we love this episode so much, we did a whole podcast about it, check it out here, or whatever. And it does normally get, you know, quite a few listens and stuff like that. Nice. So, like, but I only ever save it for the ones that we've actually done. So there's only been, like, a handful. And so there was one today on Twitter, I was like, oh, I'll comment on that. And then I was like, huh, I can't find it. And then I went and I was like, you are blocked from responding or whatever. I was like, Jesus. So seemed a tad harsh.
What? There's no reason.
No, they don't tell you. Like, they just decided just to block. But they've personally made it a point to find my account, go to block. So, or our account, should I say? But
this guy is siphoning traffic off our stream.
Like, I don't like. They're not even. They just put pictures up. Like, so once they get the likes and the retweets, who cares about the comments on Twitter? You know what I mean? So.
Pair of fucking assholes. I'm assuming it's two other guys.
I think it's just one guy.
Maybe it's just one dweeb in his parents' face.
But we've gotten some support on Twitter from some of our loyal followers, just simply asking why. And others were literally directly tweeting them, saying like unblock them and all this sort of stuff. So we got a bit of support from the.
There's a groundswell coming on. Community.
It's going to be in the news tomorrow. So I just thought it was like, I'd never been blocked from anything on Twitter before. I was like, oh, so this is what trolls feel like. We are not trolls.
You old trolly Andrew. What episode are we not going to be able to link to a quote of the day?
It is episode 21 of season 4, Marge in Chains, which aired on May 6th, 1993. I've got a couple of bits of trivia for you if you're interested.
Hit me.
Well, it was written by our old pal Josh Weinstein and a guy called Bill Oakley. And they Well, basically, first of all, the draft that they got, like, they didn't write it, they just got like a draft and they just sort of picked it up, so someone else wrote the idea. I thought this was interesting because it was sort of pre-internet, but do you remember the line where Apu is like, he can recite pi to 40,000 decimal places? And he correctly says that the 400,000 digit is number one. The writers prepared the scene by asking someone from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration for what the number for the number of the 40,000th decimal place of pi. So he sent them back a printout of the first 40,000 digits.
So it's factual.
Yeah, so they actually got it. It's just mad the efforts that they have to go through pre-internet, like. And obviously, as we know, it's got David Crosby in it as a cameo appearance. The episode itself had a Nielsen rating of 11.1, equivalent to approximately... Yes?
Sorry to cut across you, because you mentioned David Crosby. I have a factoid here about him.
Oh, please.
So you know the scene where he is called by Lionel Hutz, Hartman himself, and he's looking at the CSNY...
Yeah.
Album. Phil Hartman designed that emblem on that album cover in the late 70s.
What?
You heard it here.
But wasn't he just... Didn't he just have a vinyl just of the words Crosby, Stills, and Nash on it? Was it an actual album cover he was looking at in that episode?
My one it was, yeah. Did your one just have like Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Yeah, it was just like a black square with like Crosby, Stills, and Nash just written on it.
Oh.
Which one did he have on your one? Was it the actual...
I don't know. It was an album cover.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What album it was.
I'd be interested to know which one it was. Didn't know Phil Hartman was in that game.
Yeah, me neither. Just when I was...
Is there anything he can't do? It got 10.3 million views, which even though it is a mental amount these days, it's a fair bit less than, well, not a fair bit less, they normally get around 12 million or something like that, but it was the second rated highest rated show on Fox following Beverly Hills 90210. It got good reviews, and a lot of people said it was like a modern version of It's a Wonderful Life, the whole thing of what would marriage. Life be like without marriage and all that sort of stuff. It's just in general, it's gotten very good reviews. It's in a lot of top 10 lists and a lot of best of the season episodes and stuff like that. So it seems to be quite well received. There's not actually a huge amount, now that I look back, of trivia at all involving
I got one here for you.
Please help me out.
Marge's inmate number is 24601. It is also Sideshow Bob's number. Which is also a reference to Jean Valjean from Les Miserables.
Ooh. I've never even seen a second of Les Mis, as they call it in the biz.
I actually saw a few minutes of the movie version that they did there. That was on Christmas at some point. Not really. Your one is in it, Helena Bonham Carter.
I'll stop you there.
Ali G was also in it.
God.
The only bit I saw was two of them doing a bit of singing and dancing around.
Oh, no, thank you. That's a hard pass. Do you remember what the chalkboard gag was in the intro?
Hold on, right here I have it. It says, "I do not have diplomatic immunity."
Yeah, that's what I said on mine too. That part.
What was your couch gag?
They were like tiny, and they crawled up on a big couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Well, I like that. I don't know. Maybe like 4 or 5 seasons from now, they kind of redo that one with a bit of a twist, where it's they're climbing up onto the couch a tiny, and then Homer gets eaten by the dog or taken away by the dog.
Oh yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah,
Well, I tell you, that's all I've got, Terry.
Shall we dance into the episode?
Please.
Products you could only imagine before. The SS Microwave.
Ah, my crepes are done.
The Doggy Doorman.
Good evening, Rex.
And Mobileer, the chandelier for your car. All on, I can't believe they invented it.
Hello, everybody. I'm Troy McClure, star of such films as P is for Psycho and The President's Neck is Missing. But now I'm here to tell you about a remarkable new invention. Until now, this was the only way to get juice from an orange.
You mean there's a better way?
But that's all changed, thanks to the juice loosener. Let's meet the inventor, Dr. Nick Riviera.
Hello, Troy. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Troy, would you like a glass of orange juice?
I sure would. But won't we have to pay those outrageous grocery store prices for something the farmer probably spit in?
Not anymore. All thanks to the new juice loosener.
Doctor, are you sure it's on? I can't hear a thing.
It's Whisper Quiet!
You got all that from one bag of oranges?
That's right. Order now, and you'll also get Sun and Run, the suntan lotion that's also a laxative.
Well, it's not often that we start the episode itself with a clip, but I mean, they've been really knocking them out of the park this season with the intros, especially when it comes to something that one of the Simpsons is watching on TV. It's always funny.
The last few episodes in particular, I think, they've really, like, there's been the last three or four ones where it's kind of been they're watching TV or, you know, it's a movie or whatever like that, like,
yeah,
to start off. And it's really been, like, high quality.
It has.
Good stuff.
And arguably, this is the most high quality of all. I mean, there was several bits in that scene that I thought was so funny. One was one of Troy McClure's things being as the president's neck is missing. what is that?
I kind of preferred, P is for Psycho.
That was good too. But I just think, what is it? Like the president's neck is missing.
He's got no neck, man.
Plus the mobileer, the chandelier for your car. And he's clearly uncomfortable driving the car, like
But I like when he is driving the car, you can see him, he keeps glancing over at the chandelier,
yeah,
like he's expecting it to hit him, like,
such an inconvenience.
A little glance, like. was that your favorite invention?
It's gotta be up there. Even the name alone, the juice loosener.
No, what about the doggy doorman?
Oh,
evening, Rex.
Or what was the other one? The SS microwave.
Yeah. Ah, my crepes are done. I just love that image of that guy floating there.
Eating crepes. Yeah, no, the
in a microwave.
The Immobilier, I think, was my favorite out of all those. Although I was a big fan of the juice loosener just because it's such a clear ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, one drop.
Yeah, and, like, I love the, I mean, it's such an inspired gag where it's like, what is he doing? Like, he's grabbing this orange and bashing it off his eye socket. Like, what the hell? And it's like, goes into the glass. And of course, it cuts to Homer doing the exact same thing.
You mean that's a bit
and I even love, like, how Homer has arched his body over the couch.
Really trying to get some
purchase
on it.
He's putting that much force into it. Yeah, yeah. It's really good.
Big fan of that scene.
And, he threw in there's a outrageous grocery store prices for something the farmer probably spit in.
Yeah. You could tell, like, just the dialogue was written by, like, a crook, you know. We have to pay those outrageous grocery store prices for something the farmer probably spit in. Not anymore. Like just creating problems.
So straight after the clip, then Homer is dashing to the phone. He gotta get a juicer, gotta drink juice, lose weight, won't get chest pains from answering the phone anymore. And it cuts over to Osaka, Japan. And I did really like this sort of, I know it's a, I guess, a trope or whatever you want to call it, but like, you know, done it in Wayne's World and other things where it's the dubbed over voices of Asian people.
Where it's clearly just for comedic effect, it's just off timed.
Yeah, exactly. So off time as well.
Even the laughing, like the dubbed stopped laughing, and then you just see their mouths moving for ages.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, really good. And back, is it 6 weeks later?
Yeah.
A juice loosener comes
As Homer is saying, like 6 weeks in, like, my juice loosener is never going to come. Yeah. Hey, this game for you.
Let's just call it the juicer because I can't
you
keep saying juice
say
loosener.
It, Terry. Juice loosener.
So we're sort of jumping around Springfield here. Apparently, everybody else in Springfield saw that show and is ordering
literally the whole
juice
town
looseners. And it's Skinner. He bought a new juicer and. I love how he opens it and it's the green and yellow cloud. He's like, oh, good lord, flu germs entering every orifice in my head.
Oh. Skinner just can't not be funny to me right now. He's one of my favorites at the moment.
Paddy and Selma exchange them. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
The dreaded Osaka flu has hit Springfield with over 300 cases now reported. That means over 300 people bought that juice loosener.
God. Juice loosener. Well, or
secondhand. Possibly.
They're giving it to one another as well. Yeah. I did like the bit as well, just before we get into that, where Chief Wiggum. Well, first of all, where the sort of clouds of gas are like stopped at the traffic lights and stuff.
Yeah, touch.
And like, I like the music they use is like very alien invasion type.
Yeah.
When all this is happening, like, and then Chief Wiggum sees, and I like that he can actually see the flu in the air.
Yeah, and you get the sort of
and
point
like,
of view from
like
the flu.
Shooting at it. Yeah.
Just like shooting at it, and then like throwing his gun.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm always a fan of.
And then we're over with.
I was going to say, I'm always a fan of in a show or a movie where someone runs out of bullets and then just throws the gun at them.
Yeah, of course.
It's never
like,
it,
like, literally has nothing left in his arsenal, bar what. And we're over with Arnie Pie, Arnie in the Sky, and he says basically it's going around and around and around and look out the corner of 12th and Main because I'm going to be sick.
What do you think of that joke?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the delivery more than anything. Like, just because he's like, you know, he's like a fast talking character at the best times anyway.
He just slows it down. He's like, around and around and around. See, he didn't look sick to me. So at first when I seen it, I was like, you know, I was like, oh, is he sick too?
What's
is
his
that
name?
Why he's getting sick? Yeah. It must be, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He
has the flu, I assume.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Anyway.
He didn't look as sick. I know what you mean. Like,
he was still reporting, you know.
And then it cuts to... Otto, who's about to do a bit of tanning, and he gets, we don't know what he gets, but we can assume he's tanning at the corner of 12th and Main.
He gets smothered in vomit.
Oh, lovely.
That's what it is, man.
Yeah, well, I do, it is definitely that. Let's make no bones about it. And then we're back to Marge and the family, and she takes Bart's temperature, and he's 98.6. So you're gonna miss your bus if you don't go to school. And he's like, oh, maybe take it one more time. I love the look on his face, the expression of like determination, yeah. Or like he's trying his hardest to.
I was a big fan, just in
concentration,
general.
Concentration, I think.
Yeah,
would be more
to get his body to work for him. I was a big fan of that whole, yeah, just that idea of like just him willing his body to let the germs through. And they take on, like, yeah, human form. Yeah. Like, Sarge.
You got, like, the squeaky voice teen.
Yeah. That's, like,
Sarge,
clearly... Yeah.
Really honest.
And then, of course, it's,
and then
like,
you get
snake.
A bit of snake in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make some pus. All
right. Let's make some pus. Nice. So we go to an episode of Itchy and Scratchy that Bart is watching. What do you think of this episode?
What happened in this one again? Oh, where he throws the stuff out.
It's like he goes to the doctor and it's like, today's special. Why a doctor would have a special on the board, I guess, I don't know. But
yeah, like it's a restaurant.
Tonsillectomies. So he's gonna, yeah, exactly. And then he basically pulls out all his organs.
Oh, yeah.
Window. So Scratch jumps out after them and then gathers them all back in. And then
I did actually...
promptly impaled on a cactus.
I did actually kind of like that. It got a little... I wouldn't say chuckle, but it got like an exhale through the nose. Just the fact that like he's...
The exclamation of him impaling on the cactus is what did it for me.
Like. Yeah, like it literally goes through both his eyeballs. Comes out,
yeah,
the other side. So
but
violent,
like,
for like a second.
Yeah, and like normally, like he'd be like, ah, like,
yeah,
running around, or now it's just like, no, he's dead. Like he's not moving. He's
just like that.
You know, the lights have been turned off. He is out.
I liked it.
And we get an emergency announcement from the mayor.
Did you happen to notice the Latin on the emblem for the mayor?
Corruptus in extremis.
Very good.
Yeah,
I was a fan of
great.
That. Simpsons, yeah, do those jokes so well, like just these little text jokes,
yeah,
that if you didn't even look, you'd miss, like
blink and you miss,
yeah,
it, like, yeah. And he says, people of Springfield, because of the epidemic, I have cancelled my vacation to the Bahamas. I shall not leave the city. Like, hey, you, get that steel drum out of the mayor's office.
Sorry, man.
It's like some like he's just like he pays no mind,
yeah,
what's going on.
He's just having a
camera.
Good time.
Like, yeah. And we're over to Burnsy and Smithers at the power plant. And he says this plague doesn't scare him. He's constructed a germ-free chamber for himself. Not a single microbe can get in or out.
Like, the amount of
open
doors
chamber.
That open, like, it's like, droot, droot,
yeah,
droot, like, just like 10 doors. And as well, it's his...
It's Homer.
It's his reaction to seeing Homer, where he's like, who the devil are you? He's instantly
Homer
outraged.
Is like, he's chowing down on a hoagie or a grinder or a hero. And Homer's inner monologue saying, just come up with a good story.
My name is Mr. Burns.
That's his go-to sort of lie, isn't it? That
it kind of is. Like, it's
know,
his, it's almost
big,
like if he has to think on the spot. Yeah. Like, if he has to think on the spot, yeah, it's usually Mr. Burns. Ironic that Mr. Burns can never remember his name. But
oh, sweet irony.
The next scene, Terry, I'll stop you right where you stand. Because we have another clip. It's a short one, but we will play it and come back.
We need a cure! We need a cure!
Why, the only cure is bed rest. Anything I give you would only be a placebo.
Where do we get these placebos?
Maybe there's some in this truck.
Ah!
I'm cured! I mean, ouch!
What did you make of this clip? I always remember it from younger, because I never even knew what a placebo was.
Yeah, like, I kind of... like, it was just a small one just to throw in, just because... I don't know what it was. It was just... I just love that mob mentality that the town gets, where, like, straight away... You know, like, in like, another scene where he's like, so what we have is, like, quit Stalin! What's the plan? You know, like, they just always get ahead of themselves. Yeah. So he's like, anything I give you would only be a placebo. Like, where do we get these placebo? Maybe they're here in this truck! Like, just right then and there. Like... I don't know why, it just made me laugh.
I love how killer bees as well, like, in the truck.
Yeah, I was a fan of it.
Yeah, and nice little scene there. Yeah.
And of course, Dr. Hibbert
sort of shows how
Dr. Hibbert's not getting like worked up as he never does when they're like shouting, "We need a cure." Yeah. He's like, "Why, the only cure is bed rest." That was easygoing, Doctor. Well done.
Most definitely. We're over to the Flanders residence next, where Todd may or may not be speaking in tongues. Apparently he's just delirious from the fever.
I love even just, I don't know why the way Flanders, he's like,
I pray for the day.
Yeah. I wish he were around. I pray for the day, but I'm afraid he's just delirious from fever.
And you kind of forget how southern Ned Flanders goes into a town. You know?
He's a southern dandy.
Yeah, and then he's like, he can't imagine what he could have done to... Oh, no. And it cuts to him watching... I love this.
Yeah.
Married with Children.
Especially the fact that it would have been like so popular at the time. Like, they were competing with it almost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you gotta take better care of the house. These plants are all lifeless and limp.
Maybe they'd feel more at home in the bedroom, Al. He laughs for like a second, like, ha ha, like a thunderstorm starts. Yeah. Uh-oh.
But I love that they got like the Al Bundy grimace after she says it.
Yeah, like, just, like, he's annoyed with it.
At the side of the mouth, like, thing going on there. They've done their homework.
Yeah.
So we're at the Simpsons house. And poor old Marge is getting it six ways from Sunday.
Who were?
They're asking for some of those Flintstones chewable morphine.
There's no such thing.
Which don't exist, apparently. Yeah. Homer's like, wants Marge to come change the channel and pat his head.
In a minute.
He doesn't want to miss. Miss Sheriff Lobo.
Sheriff Lobo.
I would love to actually see. I think it's real.
I was just going to say, I don't know if it's a real thing. It comes up several times in different episodes. Yeah. like the Bobo,
I feel like,
episode.
I'm missing out and haven't known. Yeah, exactly.
I'd say it is, like, because they always have real things like Matlock and stuff, which is a real thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. Sheriff Lobo.
Grandpa wants a bottle of bourbon. And you get an interesting little tidbit about his life. You can't have liquids after 3 p.m.
Yeah. You can stir it.
That's because he's going to piss himself, is it? Like,
oh, it must be. I didn't even think of that.
That's what I figured.
Ugh, God.
Well.
I don't want to see how the sausage is made.
But he says you can stir it into as much either way. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And Lisa wants more OJ. And as Marge is at the Quickie Mart going through, and I think they do this really
so
well,
good,
where it's like, Flintstones chewable morphine, Lobo, OJ, Flintstones chewable morphine, Lobo, OJ.
And they all just like, start turning into their heads.
She's seeing their faces everywhere. Yeah. It's really good.
Big fan.
And then Marge is at the counter and she wants a bottle of aspirin as well. Tiny, tiny bottle of aspirin. And Pooh says it's $24.95. That infuriated me.
I know.
I know it's a joke and all. That's the joke. But I'm like, oh, God.
But I found, I mean, I'll get to it, but in this whole episode, I was thinking, like, why would they ever shop at the Quickie Mart ever again after this episode?
Yeah.
You know, Apu is just... Not,
they, like, he doesn't apologize.
Yeah.
No resolution there.
With him, yeah. They just assume, oh, that's just Apu. Like, overcharging them, arresting them. Like, shop somewhere else.
So she leaves, and Apu is like, oh, the alarm must be broken. Could you move a bit to your left? And I like this. He's like, 8'6". Like, taking note of her height. That's how high she is with the hair.
Imagine seeing Marge in real life. Like, imagine actually seeing that.
A woman like that.
Like, though. With hair like that. You'd be like, holy shit. She's insane. Like not like, oh, she's so attractive.
Her hair worn only for shock value. Sanjay goes over to help Mrs. Simpson with her bags. And I like the fact that he's like, and while you're at it.
Yeah, and they speak
and then
Hindi.
They
speak
Hindi.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah. And it turns out she didn't pay for a bottle of Colonel Quickie Mart's Kentucky Bourbon. And then the police show up.
Like it's a hostage situation. Come out with your hands up.
All right. Two cups of coffee, an auto freshener that says Capricorn, and something with coconut on it.
Like, it's such a backwards... Like, you really sort of get the... I don't know, like, the small town sort of vibe.
Yeah.
With certain things in this episode. That's definitely one of them. Whereas, like, the police are there instantly as well.
Yeah, what are they doing with the rest of their time?
Yeah.
Sitting around playing cards or watching TV.
Putting squirrels up their pants.
So we jump over to I Can't Believe It's a Law Firm.
One of my favorite places for The Simpsons to visit in any episode. And they keep going back to Lionel Hutz.
It's like going back to a poo, like, they don't know any better,
yeah.
Or can't afford to go anywhere else. Like,
he clearly is some sort of discount attorney.
Yeah. So, he seems pretty excited to have them as a client.
Let me stop you right there, Terry. Because, as we don't always get Phil Hartman every episode, when we do have Phil Hartman, we like to play Phil Hartman. So we will... play it. Come back after this.
Now, Marge, you've come to the right place. By hiring me as your lawyer, you also get this smoking monkey. Better cut down there, Smokey.
Mr. Hutz.
Look, he's taking another puff.
Mr. Hutz, this was all a misunderstanding. I didn't mean to take anything.
Now, don't you worry, Mrs. Simpson. Uh-oh. We've drawn Judge Snyder.
Is that bad?
Well, he's had it in for me ever since I kinda ran over his dog.
You did?
Well, replace the word kinda with the word repeatedly, and the word dog with son.
Another knockout clip from the man himself.
Yeah.
It was just...
He's at his peak.
He is, and I love that there's so much of him in this episode, or especially the second half of this episode, that it's almost like he's in nearly every scene. But just, like, the fact that he's, like, it's the fact that he's so sort of crooked or something. He's like, by hiring me as your lawyer, you also get this smoking monkey. They better cut down there, Smokey. Like, they're trying to just get to the case, like, look, he's taking another puff.
That's my favorite bit in the clip. And then he puts it back in the drawer, and there's, like,
hundreds,
it's just packed to the brim full of other smoking monkeys.
And also the fact when he realizes that they've drawn Judge Snyder. Like, what happened that he repeatedly ran over Judge Snyder's son? Like, what's going on in his world?
He's kind of repeatedly. Oh.
Brilliant.
Like, is he just, like, reversing, like,
Yeah, like repeatedly. Like, what happened? That's something I want to know.
How is he not in prison?
I know. He repeatedly ran over his son. Like, he should be in jail right now.
Pipe down in there, Hutch. So, yeah, great clip.
Love it.
And afterwards, Homer says he's going to talk to Apu. I'm sure it'll be reasonable. When they get there, Apu and Sanjay are doing a dance and singing in Hindi.
Aggressively singing, if I may.
Yeah. Like, if I was in that shop, I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know.
Give me a break.
Just can't say that nowadays, Terry.
And just because we're on the topic of Apu, somebody was asking me how I feel about this whole controversy.
How do you feel?
To do with him. I think it's a bit, I think it's 20 years too late, I guess.
Yeah. Why not 20 years
like
ago?
Perfect world. Exactly, yeah. Like, and, you know, it's fair enough, like, the guy, one of his grievances was that it was, you know, this was the only representation of an Indian person on mainstream TV or whatever. But they're not doing the character as like an insult or to make fun,
like he has,
like he's a stereotype,
like
these people exist in America same way the Simpsons family are like based on like lower middle working class family, like with a stupid alcoholic father and you know, a troublesome child,
yeah, exactly.
And a long suffering wife, like you don't see like some sort of redneck sort of doing a documentary on why Cletus is the problem, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem, is that it's like they don't have, like, why isn't anyone giving out about Fat Tony and the Italian stereotypes and like that? Like, they have Apu, like, they give him the accent and they give him, like, you know, his, you know, things that, you know, like, where he follows, what's the religion, Hindu or whatever, like they have them as all these things, but like the stories don't really revolve around that a lot of the time. Like a lot of if especially in the later episodes when Apu is in a storyline, it's nothing to do with the fact that he's Indian, you know what I mean? There is a couple because there's
only
differences.
The arranged marriage,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
But like it's a problem on whole with the industry rather than the Simpsons, I think. And
it's
like,
just a load of
it's
like,
kind of,
if I may say, it's a load of absolute bollocks. Any controversy about Apu, it annoys me.
It's a weird thing though, because like we're two like white Irish men,
yeah,
who like obviously
not the Irish took their lumps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was all in good fun.
It was invented as an excuse to beat us up. But like, and you know, if your man feels, you know, offended or whatever, like that's his right to do so. I just think focusing on the character of Apu as opposed to the problem in the industry as a whole.
Yeah, they're just like, using it as a reason to voice their opinion.
And that's fair. I guess that's fair enough. Like, why are they? World, if there was an Indian voice actor 20 years ago or whatever when The Simpsons started,
yeah, exactly.
Or whatever it was, 91, and they had hired him, yeah, grand, they wouldn't be having this problem as well. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, well, I don't
know.
It's not like, surely it's more like a more offensive character is Cletus to people from the south, rather than Apu. Like that's a stereotype.
Apu is
one of the more decent characters.
Better than as one of the most intelligent people.
Yeah.
In he's Caltech. He was in and stuff like that. Like, so
that's the thing.
It's not. I don't think it's an offensive.
It's not offensive at all. It's just the fact that now that there's Twitter and whatever, the people, like, all of a sudden, if 20 people say something, then it becomes a thing. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, 25 years ago, it's like, a few people think that, like, whatever. You think that, grand.
Yeah,
we're going to go on with what we're doing.
The fact that, like, Hank Azaria has been like, I'll step down. If it's like, that's pure pandering.
What did he say? Think.
Like, that'd be worse. He's like, if it needs to, I'll stop doing the character and get somebody else in to do the voice. I was like, no.
That's so not the right approach.
Yeah. No.
The whole thing makes me
anyway,
blood red mad.
Send your hate tweets to
at Simpsons QOTD, the ones who blocked us. Direct your file towards them. Tell them Itchy sent you. That's right, people.
So anyway,
anyway.
So
where were we?
Who says, no offense, but we're putting that bitch on ice. We were just talking about how nice a character
is. I know, literally the next thing.
Like a real
like fuck's sake, Apu.
But and he says, Mr. Homer, it is the policy of Quickie Mart and its parent corporation, Nordine Defense Dynamics. Never picked up on that before.
No,
great little guy.
Me neither until today. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. This prosecute shoplifters to the full extent of the law. And I was just thinking about it. Like, what is the full extent of petty theft?
Yeah.
Like, it's not 30 days in prison.
Definitely not.
A fine, I'm sure.
A fine. Yeah, exactly. Like, the fact that they're even contemplating prison for this, especially Marge, who it's not like she's just come in as a nobody. Like, he's friends with the family, but all of a sudden she forgets one bottle of bourbon and he's willing to put her away for as long as he possibly can. Fuck Apu.
What a fucking arsehole that Apu was. Yeah. That's the problem with Apu.
Exactly.
He's a bloody
no
arsehole.
Loyalty.
Yeah, so we cut to a steam room somewhere, and it's Quimby and Chief Wiggum, and he's saying, don't tell anyone, but Marge Simpson was arrested for shoplifting. Cut two.
The fact that it's got Quimby, like what's the addressing? He's like, let the word go forth from this time and place, Marge Simpson is a shoplifter. What's he doing?
Hey!
In other news, the chick in the crying game is really a man.
Boo.
I mean, man, is that a good movie?
Hey.
Like, what's happening? What is he addressing here?
Yeah, I don't know. Brilliant. That scene for me, it just seems really... again, I can't, maybe there's like that theme of mob mentality is running through this episode.
Yeah.
Of that, like, you know, they're all sort of a bunch of fickle mushheads.
Give us hell, Quimby.
So we're at I assume it's a bridge game.
Yeah.
And it's the Lovejoys, Miss Hoover and Dr. Hibbert. And there's Miss Hoover saying, Marge made gingerbread men last Christmas and there was a hare in one.
Like that's anything. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret about Marge Simpson. She's got webbed toes.
Ew. Reverend Lovejoy's like, please.
Yeah. He's almost disgusted to hear it.
Yeah. And we're at the Flanderses. And great little... I guess it's a microcosm of Ned Flanders. And yeah, I guess the earlier clip with him as well, where it's like everything he thinks.
Yeah, like, you know, he thinks he's
the
had.
The smallest
some...
infraction is way worse. So it's like, are you Ed Flanders? It's like, no, Ned Flanders. Like, my mistake.
And the fact that, like, then at the dinner party where. Like, when Marge says, would you excuse me while I go freshen up? Like, the fact that, like, Maude is like, I'll follow her. And Ned is already nodding as he's as he's wiping his mouth with his napkin. Like,
Standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on the film reference when Marge's in the bathroom?
Oh, I did not.
Oh, finally bested you.
The streak is broken. What is it?
Yeah, it was from P is for Psycho.
Should have known.
From Psycho.
Should have known.
When she is looking through. Yeah, you should have fucking known.
Never seen it, mate.
When she, no, you haven't. But that's the thing in Psycho when they go to the motel, the Bates Motel. Norman Bates would encourage his guests to go shower, and then he would remove paneling from the wall and look through a hole in a picture.
The old dog.
And masturbate.
Was that in Psycho?
While they were.
There's a scene with a man masturbating in Psycho.
Go watch that movie. Yeah, well, they don't show you his, like, you don't see his cock out.
Do you see his arse?
While he's you know the way, like, Maude was, like, looking through the little hole?
Yeah.
While he's doing that, he's, like, jerking his
head. Son of a bitch. Sick son of a bitch.
He's a messed up guy, Norman Bates.
I was a fan in hello.
Master Bates.
Huh? That's what you tune in for, folks. But the fact that she's just like, the fact that you can't see her, that you just hear her, where she's like, just wash your hand and get out. That was a great line.
Very good. So we're over at the big court case.
Stop right there, Terry. If we got Hutz, we got the clip. I don't know what that means, but we're playing. We'll come back after this. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, who do you find more attractive? Tom Cruise or Mel Gibson?
What is the point of all this?
Your Honor, I feel so confident of Marge Simpson's guilt that I can waste the court's time by raiding the Super Hunks.
Wow. Ooh, he's gonna win.
Mr. Hutz.
Now, Mrs. Lovejoy, could you tell us a little about Marge Simpson?
Well, as the wife of the minister, I'm privy to a lot of sensitive information. And here it is. Marge's husband doesn't earn much, and the family's a mess. And quite frankly, I think she,
Let the record show that the witness made the drinky-drinky motion.
And if we freeze on frame 138, we distinctly see a puff of blue hair coming from the grassy knoll.
Now, Apu, Mrs. Simpson claims that she forgot she was carrying that bottle of delicious bourbon, brownest of the brown liquors. So tempting. What's that? You want me to drink you, but I'm in the middle of a trial. Excuse me. Hello, David. I'm really tempted.
Just take it one day at a time and know that I love you.
I love you too, man. So, Mr. Nahasapima Petalon, if that is your real name, have you ever forgotten anything?
No. In fact, I can recite pi to 40,000 places. The last digit is one.
Pi.
Well, if you never forget anything, tell me this. What color tie am I wearing?
You are wearing a red and white striped club tie in a half Windsor knot.
Oh, I am I? Is that what you think? Well, if that is what you think, I have something to tell you. Something that may shock and discredit you. And that thing is as follows. I'm not wearing a tie at all.
But if I am wrong about that, maybe I am wrong about Mrs. Simpson.
No further questions.
One of my favorite clips ever, I think, is in that clip. That's a rather long clip, but
yeah.
One of the ones ever is when he's like, oh, is that right? Is that what you think? Well, if that is what you think, I have something to tell you. Something that may shock and discredit you. And that thing is as follows. And then the motion he uses to, like, take his hand out from his chest, like, I'm not wearing a tie at all. And you're like, like the guy, like the jury, everybody can see him.
You can see,
like,
him stuffing the tie up his sleeve.
No, but like you can see, like, he's facing the crowd and he's doing this.
He's
like
taking
pulling out
his tie off.
And then it's like the jury who are sitting there watching him. It's like they're all in shock.
It's such a great joke. He struggles for so long with it too.
Yeah.
Plus,
really, really good.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention David Crosby appearing in the episode. I've been looking forward to his appearance for a while. His second appearance.
Second appearance on the show.
What was the first one again?
First on our podcast. Second.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Well, if you don't know, I ain't going to tell you.
He was in season 3, was he?
Yeah.
Who was he in season?
I assume it's season 3.
Must have been. What did he do in season 3?
Well, maybe it's Nick. The B-Sharps.
Oh, that's season 5, yeah.
Oh,
that's a great one.
Lovers not experts, Andy. Lovers not experts.
But,
making his first of two appearances,
which he does very well. Well, first of all, the whole scene is like, "You want me to drink you?" And then he just goes to ring David Crosby. He's like, "Hello, David. I'm really tempted." And Crosby with that soothing voice, of course, like, "Just take it one day at a time." I love you too, man. So good. What a great scene. All of it.
There was a bit as well that I really liked, where they tried to implicate her in the JFK assassination. Yeah. Now, if we freeze the frame, we can distinctly see a puff of blue hair coming from the grassy knoll. It's like, what?
Yeah, I know. Just framing everything on her. With that guy, of course, who's always against The Simpsons. The blue-haired lawyer. Yeah.
So, after this, Lionel Hutz is having dinner with The Simpsons.
Kids, I got a crazy feeling your mom's not going to prison.
Yeah!
The fact that he's just, like, so cocky now.
Yeah. And Lisa says he's like a latter-day Clarence Darrow. I had to look it up to see who he was.
And who was it?
Some civil rights lawyer.
Oh, right. One for the purists.
But I like, he's like, was he the black guy on the Mad Squad?
I don't think they could even make that joke now.
No, I don't think so.
Even though he's not saying anything.
Basically, Bart says he wants to grow up to be a lawyer like him. And Hutz says, yeah, it's one thing the world needs, it's more lawyers. Can you imagine a world without lawyers? Did you pick up on the reference here of what he was imagining?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I know it's obviously some sort of...
Very famous ad. Probably the most famous ad of all time.
Most famous ad? Is it the Age of Aquarius?
Yeah. Advertisement. What's the Age of Aquarius?
I don't know. It just seemed like... I don't know.
What is that advertisement for?
The Age of Aquarius. And it's just letting us know that, it, now that we're in the Age of Aquarius.
The Age of Aquarius.
I think I'm way off on this one. What was it for?
The ad. The thing that's spoofing is the ad for a Coke. I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Oh, right. I did not get
Google
that.
Google it, man.
So you're certain it's not, they're not advertising the Age of Aquarius?
No.
Okay.
I think you're thinking of the end of the 40-year-old.
That's version. Exactly what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a parody of something else.
It's just, yeah.
I couldn't have been more wrong there.
Just the Age of Aquarius. The Age of Aquarius. Thinking about that, the end of that film, it kind of just, I mean, it's funny and all, but it's like, no, we don't know how to end this movie.
Yeah. I don't actually think that the 40-year-old version holds up as well as some of the other ones from around that time.
There's some good stuff in it.
Some good scenes in it, but I did watch it, I don't know, a couple of years or two ago, and I wasn't hugely into it. In the same way that, like,
he's very
I couldn't
good,
really yeah. watch Anchorman now because I've seen it so much, you know, that sort of way.
I haven't watched it in years, so, like, if it was on, I'd really enjoy it, I think. The little nuances, it's more of the...
Yeah, to be honest, I'm talking shite. I'd watch it if it was on. But you know what I mean, kind of.
So, we're back in the courtroom.
Sorry, go ahead.
Lionel Hutz is resting his case. Judge Snyder says, you know, you're not wearing any pants.
The noise he makes, and it's almost, you know what I think it is, like when he says, like, you know, you're not wearing any pants, and the way he goes, like, dah, I think whenever I
know what you're gonna say.
Whenever
all the way
when she hits him with the coffee can, that's the noise I picture him making.
Dah. Let's get out of here.
Brilliant.
He's gone too soon.
Absolutely. Phil Harmon, what a legend.
So
I move for a bed.
Moves for a
court thingy.
You mean a mistrial?
Yeah, that's why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
The lawyer.
Right.
The foreman will pass the verdict to the bailiff. His verdict is written on a cocktail napkin. And it still says guilty. And guilty is spelled wrong.
Oh, brilliant.
Great.
Why isn't this judge...
I like the sound that Lionel Hutz makes.
Go on.
Where he's like, eep.
Oh, yeah. Why is the judge even entertaining Lionel Hutz if he repeatedly ran over his son? He's pulling these shenanigans in court.
So the guy who got fired or into forcible retirement from the power plant is back, and he's the foreman of the jury.
Yeah.
And he says, "We find the defendant guilty."
Marge, just 30 days in prison.
So Marge, yeah,
just like that.
Next case, the National Council of Churches versus Lionel Hutz.
Oh, right, that thing.
I love how it's just like, all these different religions.
Yeah. Together. What's he done?
They all look so pissed
There's
off.
There's a character who could have his own spin-off. So much going on behind the scenes in Lionel Hutz.
Yeah. Like, move him to a new town and follow his law.
Better Call Saul style.
Yeah. But, yeah.
There's a show. Drama. That's a show.
That's a show. So, Lisa says Marge is still her hero, and Bart says, and this is great, I'm like, last three episodes Bart has had these sort of daydreams or you know, fantasies, whatever you want to call them, and he says, I'll bust you out of there as soon as I get a cocktail dress and a crowbar, and it cuts to his imagination. And it's him doing the mambo with the warden.
Yeah.
And he wants, like, Bartuka, until I met you, I was the loneliest warden in the penal system.
Fresh.
And it's just, he, like, slips the crowbar out of his dress.
Yeah.
Clobbers him over the head.
Down I go. Plus, I like what Homer misses about her is, like, he's like, it's not just the sex, the food preparation, your skill with stains of all kinds.
So Apu says, with her behind bar, the store is secure. Cut to
our man Snake. I'm taking this thing to Mexico.
It's like, he just has the store on the back of a truck.
Yeah, how do you get it up there?
Like on a Mack truck, and he's just... So Marge is the fresh meat in prison, and she meets her cellmate, Phillips. Why do they call her that?
They call her that because she killed her husband with a Phillips head screwdriver.
Fair enough.
I like the fact that it's like... Marge is actually enjoying prison because she gets like a bit of a break. Like, even though they're getting fed slop, it's like, it's nice to not have to cook.
Yeah. I like that. And then that flashback to like how Homer never cooked for it. It's like the fish is flopping around.
That fish flopping was so funny.
I'm having no trouble with the lobster. It's just like they're all on him. He's like slamming them.
Picking them off and chucking them in. The fish, the way the fish opens its mouth as well as it's flopping on the table.
Yeah.
Very well animated.
It's great. So Marriage meets Tattoo Annie with the tattoo on her back. What kind of slime would I marry? It's apparently one of those Mad Magazine folding.
And like, it's so unsatisfying. It turns into, what, me worry? Like, wow. Terrible.
Apparently that's Mad Magazine.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say it's very not funny.
Why don't we call it Everybody Hates Raymond? We stayed up all night, but it was worth it. So we're back at home and Homer's telling the kids that with the marriage gone, he doesn't want to have to wash any dishes. So from now on, you drink straight from the faucet or milk carton and elite while standing over the sink or toilet.
Who's going to change Maggie?
Well, we'll let her run free in the backyard and nature will take its course.
I like that
idea. Take those kids away from
I know. Man. He's not fit to be a parent while marriage isn't there.
Not at all.
Literally, like 10 minutes later, the house is an absolute pigsty. And the kids have stains on their clothes.
I like that joke where it's like 10 minutes later and like the ceiling fan falls down and all that. But then I don't like this next line undercuts it where it's like, we're running out of clean clothes. I'm like,
yeah.
It's 10 minutes. How many times have you changed?
Yeah, it doesn't really work there, does it?
But then the gag is, I guess, they only have the one set of clothes.
Yeah. Homer sorted anyway in a ripped wedding dress. Pick those kids off him.
Yeah, so Milhouse gets, all right, bologna and cheese for lunch. And what did Bart get?
He got a packet of sugar and a peanut butter smeared on a playing card.
And we get Nelson coming over. I like how he just immediately goes to lick the peanut butter off as well.
Yeah.
And Nelson comes over to give him the old ha ha, and says his mom's a jailbird.
I like the fact that it's almost like they're like kids again for a second, where he's like, so is yours. He's like, oh yeah, let's play. You forget that they're actually 10 years old.
Yeah, like Nelson never normally wants to play at anything. So it's visiting day, and Lisa's missed Marge, and Marge has missed Lisa. And Homer is, maybe he's killed good Homer because he's
dressed evil like Homer. Evil Homer. As per the last episode, he's obviously the last item of clothing, so he doesn't have to wash anything.
And Marge is asking, how are things at home?
It's like not even mentioning the fact that now they have a gator. It's we flush the gator down the toilet and now it's stuck halfway and now we have to feed it. And the fact that like him and like grandpa and him, he's like, I bet you want a piece of me. Well, you ain't gonna get it, see.
And then his teeth, I love the motion of like his teeth falling out and then the gator snapping.
Yeah,
and
each just snap just breaks them up more.
And they're in the old
conjugal visit.
Conjugal trailer.
I thought this scene was
didn't understand this as a kid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I didn't understand it as a kid, but like I thought it was actually quite a good scene in here. Just like a little joke, I guess, for the parents almost, because they don't say anything.
Yeah.
Kids would know what conjugal means.
Oh.
Because we didn't.
Yeah. Oh, what's Marge doing?
Yeah.
Is she mad at home?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well. Next scene.
So we're back to Springfield.
Stop right there, Terry. We've got ourselves our final clip, I think, of the evening. We will not say it. We will play it.
Oh, do you have any of those delicious marshmallow squares?
Sorry, Marge Simpson makes those.
Oh, darn.
$15 short. Exactly what Marge Simpson's marshmallow squares bring in. Can we still afford that statue of Lincoln?
No, I'm afraid we'll have to go with something cheaper.
I give you our 39th president, Jimmy Carter.
Oh, come on!
He's history's greatest monster!
Release the dogs.
Gee, they look pretty mad.
Yeah, I've been starving them, teasing them, singing off key. Me, me, my, mo, me, moo, my. No, nice doggy.
This never would have happened if Marge Simpson was here.
A fan, well, first of all, I was a fan of the guy at the very start, where he's like, oh, do you have any of those delicious marshmallow squares? He's like, oh, darn.
I actually wasn't a fan of that.
Really? I like that guy.
Such a like cliche or like on the nose. Like,
yeah, it's very on the nose.
Effeminate man, even when like, oh darn, like, his hand movement and all. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I guess in the 90s, it would have been funnier.
Yeah,
it's been done to death by now.
But it reminds, you know what it made me think of? Do you remember we did The Rock,
yeah,
on our old podcast, and we were talking about the hairdresser, yeah, Sean Connery.
Oh my God.
It's like so over the top, so camp.
It was so it stood out so much in that movie. I'm just like, what the fuck is this character?
Did not age well.
And after all the gunshots and everything,
well, he's a hairdresser, so of course he has to be.
He has to be the most flaming homosexual. And the fact that like all the shooting's going on, all this sort of stuff, he's like, just tell me you liked the hair. It's like, come on.
The guy I liked in this clip was the, like, I don't know who he is, like, but he seems like he's, like, the game warden or something like that. And he's like, $15 short. Exactly what Marge Simpson's lemon squares bring in.
And the fact...
Marshmallow squares. Darn it.
Both good. Both tasty squares. But the fact that, like, and then you have Wiggum, like, me, moo, ma, mo, me, moo, ma, me. Like, ah!
Well, like, I've been starving him, teasing him, singing off key.
The fact that all this has a knock-on effect, like, it starts with her not being able to deliver her marshmallow squares, and then, like, the whole town is in ruins, almost.
And again, more of that mob mentality, like, when they can't get the Lincoln statue, they go with something cheaper, and it's Jimmy Carter. Yeah.
He's history's greatest monster.
Well, the two writers, are like, I think it's Al Jean, Mike Rice, were not fans of him, but they still preferred him over George Bush. But from what I can remember, what I read about him, and he's doing some pretty good stuff after his presidency.
Was he?
And I remember asking, but I didn't think he was too bad a president. Me and my dad were talking about just like how Trump is, you know,
crazy,
such a garbage fire of a president.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Obama was quite he had that presidential air.
He did,
about Like, I thought he, and he was, you know, he brought in that healthcare reform. Then I was like, go before him, it was Bush Jr. It's like, oh, Jesus. Clinton, who was like, all right, whatever, but he was a woman. He's a bit of he disgraced the office.
Yeah.
Like, I was caught doing it, like
sticking cigars.
And I go back and I was like, okay.
It's just great. He's sticking cigars up. His secretaries. Anyway. Jesus. That's Slick Willie for you.
Bush Senior, who always, I don't know, he always seemed off. Reagan, who just seemed like a giant like puppet.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Or the Republicans, to get in. Keep going back. It was like, you know, they've had so many ones where it's been like some sort of controversy has happened in office, like Nixon impeached.
I think maybe Carter's one was that he pardoned him or something like that, didn't he? He pardoned Nixon.
Yeah. But I thought there's more to that than...
Yeah, I don't pretend to understand it, to be honest.
Yeah, but he was a peanut. He was a peanut farmer. Anyway,
he was a peanut farmer. Anyway,
but that was what my dad said. It's like he was the last good president of America. He thought peanut farmer.
I could see it.
In his lifetime,
peanut farmer. Anyway,
so Marge is getting let out, and she's saying goodbye to Phillips. And she hopes Phillips will find somebody. To which Phillips replies, "Men are such slime. I'm seeing this new guy. He's different." And cut to our old pal, Barnhard Gumbo.
Yeah. He says his name is Homer. He works at the nuclear plant.
I love how Marge's just like,
ooh. Yeah, she doesn't even get into it.
Yeah. And then the whole place is wrecked. They've got to clean it up before Mom gets back. To which they say, oh, they're going to sweep it all under the rug. And, you know, there's stuff cracking.
I love the fact that it's all moving.
Yeah, that as well. But you hear a can open. And then poor old Raphael is in
there. Our favorite.
Hey, watch it.
Like, how does it open a can from one of their steps? Like, tsk.
Yeah. It's just fun.
And if I was Marge now, when Marge comes back and they're all like, yay, welcome back, Marge, like, I didn't expect all this, like, I would be saying, fuck you,
get off,
yeah, get the hell away from my house, like, well, we should have never let you go, like, oh, okay, like, absolutely get out. Apu, I'm never shopping at the Quickie Mart again. Maud, we're no longer friends.
We're moving.
Yeah. You would for sure move.
So they give her a nice statue. We have a special treat for you.
Where it's just being nice again.
And it's just, yeah, it's Jimmy Carter with Marge's hair on top.
It's beautiful.
And then I actually did like the ending where it's like the two of them are playing. What are they playing? What's the name of that game?
Two of them are playing?
T-ball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bart and Lisa.
T-ball? Swing ball?
Swing ball?
Yeah. Swing ball, yeah. That's what it's called. Isn't T-ball like...
Tetherball. T-ball. There you go. Yeah. Tetherball.
Well, we'll say we're both right.
No, I do say swing ball, yeah. I typed it in there. Swing ball came. When I typed in swing ball,
yeah. Tetherball came. I think swing ball is what we called it. I don't know.
And that's our episode. Shall we get into writing?
Please. Let me ask you, Terry. How do you find the defendant?
Yes.
He's guilty. Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it.
Oh, we're not doing it right.
I enjoyed this episode. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as the previous few. I mean, they've been on, bar that last episode of ours, the clip show, they've been on a pretty decent hot streak. Maybe dipped a little bit with Last Exit to Springfield, with the like Whacking Day and
The Front.
The one before that.
Where Homer goes back to college, yeah.
The Front, yes. Two pretty strong ones. This one, It was okay. It's not going to be my top five of the season, but I enjoyed it. Solid enough episode. One story.
Yeah.
Really. There's not much of a. There's nothing much else going on around the story of Marge going to jail.
Except maybe how the Simpsons deal with it at home.
Like, it just kind of has the fallout of her going to jail, like, in the latter part.
Yeah.
Like, the first part is setting up how she's going to get there. The middle part is her actually having her trial, and then the end of it is the fallout of her going there, which isn't, you know, a terrible story structure.
Yeah.
But I would have liked for the other characters to have a bit more agency.
Yeah.
You know, all Homer does in this episode is order a juice loosener and then wear a bunch of costumes.
True.
Like, that's it. Like,
that is true,
you know,
actually.
Like, great that you get, like, Troy McClure to start the episode. A lot of Lionel Hutz in it. All very funny stuff. But I kind of had myself thinking, is that all there is? Is that it? Like, you know, wasn't loads for me to... When he wasn't on the screen, I was asking, where's Pucci? You know?
What would you give it out of 10? How many smoking monkeys would you give it out of 10?
I'd give it 8 smoking monkeys because while I say it's, you know, a good effort, like, it's better than most of the other stuff you'll watch on TV. It's, you know, a lower half of The Simpsons, of this era of The Simpsons episode, is better than most other TV shows that you'll watch.
For sure.
Judging it against some of the stronger episodes of the year, though, yeah, 8. MVP.
Who is it?
Gotta be... I don't want to say Lionel Hutz, because I know you're going to say Lionel Hutz. That's good.
We can both say
it. Has to be Lionel Hutz.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
He really does dominate the whole thing. Like,
what
were your thoughts?
I actually disagree with... with some of what you said, I would actually rank this as one of my favorite ones of the season.
Wow.
I thought it was, I enjoyed it a lot more than Whacking Day. I enjoyed it more than The Front. Just thinking of our last few episodes and things like that. Even though the front was good, but Last Exit to Springfield wasn't a massive fan of. So, like, for me, actually, the last couple of episodes haven't been as good as some of the ones before. But I thought this one, as far as... I mean, I usually... The first thing I judge it on is laughs. And then after laughs, I'll go to, like, heart, structure, blah, 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 blah. But I'll start with the laughs. And on this one, I had several... I had several big laughs in this one. And I forgot. And also, it's got my man, David Crosby, making a guest appearance. And it's got a shitload of Lionel Hutz. Like, how could I not love this episode? So, I would give this episode... Obviously, Lionel Hutz is my MVP, too. I would give this episode an 8.8 out of 10.
Wow! For you as well.
I know. Which may be my highest score yet. I can't remember what I scored. I literally can't remember one other score, but it seems like it's up there anyway.
Maybe, so. I think my monorail one was in the 9s. I've had a few in the 9s.
I don't think I've given out any 9s, yeah. But
well,
I'll have to go back and tot these
we
up.
We live in hope, huh?
But yeah, that's it for me. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and loved it.
All right, shall we get our plugs in?
Please.
Before we finish up.
You can find us
on Facebook. Well, if you let me finish it. You can find us on Facebook. Put it in Die Hard Simpsons Podcast. Normally, clips and pictures and any sort of... If we come across any sort of Simpsons memes and stuff like that, they go up there as well. Can they find us on any other social media platforms?
They sure can. You can find us
that
on...
We're not blocked on.
You can find us on Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. Always good. And we on Twitter, usually a few days before the episode, we'll put up a good GIF from the upcoming episode. So that's pretty much all we do on Twitter, that and put up the episode. But also, actually, that's not true, because
get blocked by
a very reputable Simpsons account. But you can also find us on iTunes at Put It In H podcast. You can find us on any Android podcast apps, wherever you get your audio on demand, as they say. Stitcher as well.
Give us a rating, give us a review, you know what to do. 5 stars.
Or kind of
beating a dead horse at this stage, but 5 stars always helps. Really helps with the algorithm.
It does. I don't know. It does help with the algorithm. I don't know what that means, but I know it does help with the algorithm. And I'm checking those weekly TV film categories every week on YouTube. I'll have everyone. I'm checking to see if we're cracking that top 200. And you know what makes us crack the top 200? Is fucking reviews and 5 stars. We have 6 reviews, all 5 stars. Thank you for everyone who left them. For those of you who haven't, what are you waiting for? Get us in. There's 6, yeah.
6?
Only 6 on iTunes
now. Only 6?
Only 6. So, you know. Yeah. I don't want to get into a whole thing with the listeners here. But, yeah, so, you know, if you feel...
You should be ashamed of yourselves. There,
you people are pigs.
You should be ashamed of yourselves.
anyway...
What do we got for these next 6
The next one
week,
is the final episode of season 4, Krusty Gets Cancelled, episode 22. I can't believe we've come this far.
You can call me Ray. You can call me Jay. You can call me Ray Jay. Ray Jay.
I guess there is nothing else but to say thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Andy. And we'll see you all next week.
Thank you, people. We'll see you next week. What do you say? Awesome.